side, to net and cut in slits to smoke. And the mushrooms will come soon after the chubs run, mushrooms hiding in the grass like tiny Christmas trees, until you see one, and then they all seem to jump out at you. And after that, to cut and dry them on a slab board in hot sun. When he says that, when he says, "Time when," it always comes out as one word, "Time when," which he says a lot, all the time, about a lot of things. He's old, very old, so old he can't really be figured in years or regular time, and sometimes he'll just say, "Time when," and not follow it up with what he was thinking about. Instead, he'll look off at a cloud, even if there aren't any clouds in the sky, and smile at some little or big thing only he knows, only he can remember. It might be something as small as a hummingbird hovering on a wild raspberry flower, or as big as a war. Same smile. And he might tell you then if you ask him, and he might not until later. Maybe a year later, when he's sitting on the porch, smoothed with shine made by the man I've never talked to, who brings the clear alcohol in the middle of a night in half-gallon canning jars. Fishbone's old foot will tap his old work boot in a kind of tap-shuffle-tap, and he'll look off into the place he was then, back then, and he'll tell you in soft words that run together like new honey about what it was. Hummingbird or war. Same voice, same sound. Nobody knows why they call him Fishbone, or even when it might have got started as a name for him. He once said it was because he got a fishbone stuck in his throat, and two doctors had to hold him in a half-broken-down wooden chair full of splinters and knots, one holding his mouth open, while the second one, who was younger, dug down in his throat with a rusty pair of horseshoe tongs. They pulled out the bone, which came from a big old yellow channel catfish caught off a mud bank, and all he had to ease the pain was two swallows of clear corn moonshine. All the parts of the story tight and told like they were true, and they might have been, probably were, the true story. Except that maybe a week later, he would tell it different, and say that it was when he was fishing for crawfish and had no small hook, and had to make one from the backbone of an ugly garfish he killed in the shallows with a piece of driftwood he used for a club. And it was not until later, on a still summer night, sitting on the porch listening to the whine of night bugs hitting the water in the dog dish where the moon had come down to sit, that you would find that both stories were true. Or were thought true. Thought true. Like, time when. All the same time or place or something happening. No difference in those things, because the main part was that it was his name. Fishbone. Stories about how I came to be with Fishbone, by him, of him, family to him. All true, all different, all told by the stove in cold times or on the porch on summer evenings while he was sipping shine from an old jelly jar or doing what he called hogging around in the garden. First story I heard, I was a baby still in birth blood in a wooden beer crate down where the creek crossed under the county firebreak trail. The trail was right on the edge of being a road that sometimes people would use to come into the dark woods, the old woods, for their own reasons. Sometimes, dark reasons. "Ugly," he said. Ugly and wrinkled like a baby pink rat and squalling like a hog stuck in a fence. He found me from the noise I made just before a bear got me. Fishbone was working the creek for chubs, or maybe a turtle, to eat, and he yelled at the bear that was dragging the crate away, and it dropped the crate and ran off. And Fishbone took the crate and me home with him. Was the crate that was in his mind first, he said. It had iron corners bracing good clear pine wood slats that would work just